Good evening. Welcome to Serenity, a service for your well-being. I'm Peggy Nichols, and along with my spirit guide, Anthony, we're going to be your hosts for the next hour. Tonight, I have two wonderful guests, and we're going to take a small pause in between them, but we're going to start with this wonderful, wonderful lady who I've been able to meet personally. She started really taking her writing seriously back in 1980, and only up to a year or so ago, she finally found her way to Two Moon Press in Marshall, Michigan. Not only to become an employee there, but finally to have her books published. It's a wonderful book, and we'll start talking about that after I bring her in. Her name is Robin Moyer, and Robin, welcome aboard. How are you this evening?
I'm excellent and excited.
Well, I have to tell you, it was so charming, you know, meeting you in person, and as you were telling me about your books, I felt like a little child having stories read to me at nighttime, and you had me on the edge of my chair, and you are just so delightful, and Alan Doria, if I'm saying that properly, The Tales of the Inner Magic. Now, this book is going to be a total of 4 stories.
Yes, it is, and it's a chapter book for children in the younger grades, and I set it up that way because, it's a good length for the children that are getting into reading on their own, but I'm a big fan of parents reading to their children, and that way it's about the amount of time a parent wants to read to a child at night, and still leave the kid hanging till the next night to find out what's going to happen.
Well, girlfriend, you had me hanging there just in your office today, and I'm not going to give my age away, fans, so they're not even going to go there, but I'm going to buy the series of books because they are so delightful. And I know our inspiration comes from many, many avenues in life, but I was so delighted when you shared with me that it was your daughter that inspired you for this particular book.
Yes, my oldest daughter, Kelly, who is now a mom to 3, she was only about 6 and was having a really rough day. She was sick and home from school, and we played numerous, numerous games of Uno, and she kept wanting one more, and I finally put my foot down and said, no more, we're done. And she started crying and wouldn't stop and kept begging and pleading and crying. And I was trying to sidetrack her, and I said, you know, one of these days you're going to use up all your tears crying over silly things, and you're going to have something really important to cry about, and you're going to have run out of tears, and you're not going to be able to cry. Well, at this point, she has stopped crying and is listening to me wide-eyed, and I completely blew the whole little lesson by saying, gee, what a great idea for a book! And we ended up playing more games of Uno. But that's what originally started the whole series, because I was writing a story about a little Princess Kelly who had to learn the why of crying, and that because the most important reason of all to cry is because you're happy.
Yes, and I think you call this the Quest of the Crystal Tears?
Yes. The first one is the Crystal Tear, and she goes on a quest to learn the why of crying and has a series of adventures and finally learns the right reason. One of the other stories is about a little boy who hears his teacher tell his mother that he's the smartest kid in the whole class. And he's all excited about that, and he goes home and then overhears his mother telling his father he's the smartest kid in the whole school. And the child is a prince, and later that night he hears his father, the king, telling one of the royal high chamberlains, my son is the smartest boy in the whole kingdom. Well, now he's totally full of himself, thinks he's just smarter than everyone, and starts to act that way. So his father sends him on a quest to find this golden lamp, which is something that keeps the kingdom safe and has mysteriously vanished. And he goes on a quest to for himself, because he thinks he doesn't need school anymore, and he's smart enough to do this quest. And his father sends him on it so that maybe he'll learn something new along the way. And he has adventures and meets a wizard and a marvelous tree that where the wizard lives, who the tree magically rearranges itself to hold books and a bed made out of branches and stuff like that. And he goes on this grand and glorious quest and eventually meets Deltharion the dragon and has to pick which of the three lamps is really the one that is the lamp of knowledge, and he has to pick between knowledge and intelligence and cleverness, and he has to figure out which is the right lamp.
Well, I'm talking with you earlier today, too, and what I loved about your stories is that it really makes the children work. It makes them stop to think, and I really like that. You get them involved, and I think parents will enjoy this, because what a wonderful avenue of coming in, like, okay, you know, you, like you said about crying, you know, you shouldn't cry and throw a tantrum because you want something, but let it be tears of joys. And I think how delightful you put that with calling it the crystal tears. And the four books now, I know you've had completed three of them, and I believe the fourth is still in works as we speak?
Yes, I'm still working on the fourth one, and the fourth one is actually a little bit longer and a little bit more involved. And all of the books have these quests, and during the course of the quests, the children are kept giving scrolls. And each scroll is like a puzzle that they have to figure out, whether it's written in mirror writing, or there's plays on words that as they are reading along, they're also having to figure out for themselves how the problems can be solved. And eventually the characters figure it out, but right along with them, the children are also having to use their brains and their minds and their imaginations and talking about it with their friends or their parents to figure it out, which is something that is very important to me, that kids don't lose that imagination and the world of reading, where most of the action takes place in your mind, not on a screen in front of you, doing it for you. You have to do a little bit of the work yourself.
Oh, and I think that's half the fun, is using your imagination. And I loved when you were sharing with me about your own personal life, and that your children, that actually you read to them every night until they went off to college.
Yes, every night. Kids don't like doing chores. So, and doing the dishes and putting them away and drying them. People would always fight over who's going to do which. So when they were young, but just old enough to start doing the dishes at night, I would read to them the whole time that they were getting washed and dried and put away. So whatever books they were maybe reading in school, we read The Giver, we read The Chronicles of Narnia, we read Moby Dick, we read Shakespeare. We worked our way through basically all the classics, and then newer ones that they were discovering, and Newbery Award-winning books. And every night we read, and sometimes the kids read, and Mom washed or dried or put away. But we read every single night. We did this all the way till they went to college. And it must have worked, because my grandchildren get read to all the time still. My daughter reads to them, and all three of them are voracious readers.
Oh, and
they,
you know,
play video games, but they are all readers. And in this day and age, that's so important. I'm so afraid it's something that's just going to get lost.
Well, and it's true, because my mother was always very busy when I was growing up, but those things that I reflect and remember most were those evenings when she would come in and sit on the bed and just, you know, even sharing her day with us, but, you know, grabbing a book and reading a few pages. And it was wonderful because of that connection, and that we didn't have a lot of time together, but, you know, that her being there and reading that book and sharing was quality time, and that, you know, what an imprinting you make with your children, because that's what imprinted with me. And I just love the idea of books and that the internet and, you know, all of this is wonderful, but there's something to be said by holding a book, that hard cover, and handing it down, making it something. I'm sure your books you've passed down to your children, and hopefully from them to their children. There's, you know, that imprinting of your own essence and energy. I just hope we never get to a time and age where we lose books, because we surely need them.
And it's fun too. I mean, four of my favorite words as a grandmother are, "Will you read me? Read me a story when it's bedtime." And of course, Grand is a sucker, so sure. And whenever the grandkids spend the night, we've got 11 of them. We read.
And oh my!
I guess
11.
We got all the old favorites, and the older ones are now starting to get some of the more involved stories, and it's a lot of fun. We take parts and we play, and we make it come alive.
Well, and you're so fortunate, and I have to, you know, in meeting you, and Marshall, you're just down the street from Serenity, my coffee and tea house, and where we do have a lot of the publishers come in, or the authors, to do book signings there, and it's I love it, because every Saturday it's someone new and their stories and using their imagination and putting it on paper. But how great for you, honey, not only to be an author, but to work where you're in that energy with the books and all these authors and their imaginations going wild. That has got to be such a thrill.
It's a thrill. It's an absolute dream come true. Since I started working at Two Moon, it is the best job I've ever had, working with writers and helping them perfect their books and working with the editing and working with the marketing and with the illustrators and seeing the book go from the manuscript to something that they can hold in their hands. And the authors come in when they get that book and it's coming, the box is opening and they're holding their book. All these adults turn into like children at Christmas morning. They are the most gleeful and they're so happy, and it's so infectious because they've taken this dream and made it real. I love working. It's the best job I've ever had, best place to work, best people, because you work in an atmosphere of writers. Everybody who works there is a writer, and that creative energy just oozes out of everywhere in there. I love it. It's so much fun.
Well, it is a wonderful place, and I tell you, I'm so glad that I stumbled upon Two Moon right down a few doors from me, because I've mentioned before to my listeners that I'm writing. I'm like you. I started years ago, and I'm going to be like that child on Christmas morning when I open up a box and there's my books finally being published, and I know that's probably a thrill that I hope will happen more than just once. And how fortunate with you. You have, you know, four wonderful stories out there. And I know we need to let people know how they can get these. So what would be the best avenue right now?
Well, my book will be coming out in September. People can find out information about it at 800publishing.com, which is Two Moon Press. It will be available on Amazon.com. Down the road a little bit, it will be available through Barnes & Noble. You can come into the store. You can go to Cotswolds, which is our new bookstore that we just opened, and it will be available there as well. And hopefully at a whole lot more places and book signings and things to come.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to having you down at Serenity, and so I can get that autographed book.
And, I'm looking forward to that, and I love how you do that. I think that's just the coolest thing, because it's such a great thing for people. Love getting books signed by authors. And,
yes.
So that's kind of a nice thing that you do there, which just makes your place special.
Oh, thank you. Well, there's nothing better than, you know, like curling up in a chair with a hot cup of coffee or tea and a good book. Oh, I don't care what
Absolutely.
The weather is outside. It's wonderful.
I agree. I listen to audiobooks every day. I drive 62 miles to work, and every day I've got that audiobook in the car stereo.
Oh, and you know, that's really wonderful for those who may be challenged somewhat to read. I know that, you know, I have friends that have difficulty, you know, the concentration in reading, or they just may not have the time. That, you know, when you're a captive audience in your car, how wonderful that now they have the audiobooks. And
yes.
You can, you know, definitely want to stay focused on your driving, but you still can almost go into that imaginary world. And though I know with your book, I was so thrilled to see the pictures, the wizard and the dragons. And
I've got an awesome illustrator.
Oh, they are wonderful. Audience, you've got to go and get these books. They are just delightful. And trust me, she had me on the edge of my chair in her office today. So at my age and having someone do that, that's quite an accomplishment.
Thank you.
Oh, well, Robin, I'm seeing that it's time for me to get ready for my other guest. But I am so happy that you joined us this evening and that Two Moon Press gave you over to me for at least 15, 20 minutes tonight. And we thank you for their sharing. But again, folks, check into Alan Doria. You will not be disappointed. So, Robin, I thank you so much, and I hope you have a good evening. And if I may ask my gentleman there in California to give me about 2 or 3 minutes for a break, we'll get our other guest on the line.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge bringing humanity closer to truth. BBSRadio.com.
Back. My second guest, I asked him to come back because a few weeks ago when he was on, we ran out of time and we weren't able to open up the lines for questions and answering. So please have a pen handy. For those toll-free calls, please dial 888-429-5471. The gentleman we're having back tonight is a dear friend of mine, and he's a fellow and diplomat of the American Board of Mental Psychotherapists, a national certified counselor, an ordained spiritual minister, an author to The Door to the Great Journey, and The Joy of Christmas, It is my pleasure to have on again tonight Reverend Dr. Daniel C. Price. Good evening, Daniel, and how are you?
Hi, Peggy. Good evening. I'm great. Nice to be on again.
Well, I'm glad that you agreed to come back. I know we got carried away in talking last time you were on, and as you know, time gets away from me, so I wanted to put it out there. Callers, please ask. You have a wonderful psychologist here. Get some free information.
Right.
But what I thought, until Zeth lets us know that we have someone on the air, we did chat earlier, and it was wonderful that we wanted to talk about, you know, the effects that people can have on not only another person, but on a country or a nation. And that's kind of reflecting back to what happened in Norway this week. Mm-hmm. My goodness, how devastating that is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we are talking about how a person can, when they see themselves as different from others in some way and separate, and that can be separate in a negative way, or thinking that they're separate or different in a supreme way, and in that they judge others, it just creates more negativity, and that separation creates great pain, and that's emotional pain, psychic pain, and eventually that can end up in physical pain, as sadly this atrocity happened in Norway. And usually, Peggy, that starts from someone, I mean, one of the main ways that it can happen is that someone has felt shamed for being themselves early in their life, and then later in life they flip that over and they act shamelessly, and they project their sense of shame onto someone else or another group, and then they attack that other person or that other group, trying to get rid of it, thinking that carries the shame, and that they are the ones who are wrong, when really it's something that's wrong inside that individual, and they are separated from their own love, their own self-acceptance, and then they cannot accept others. And it really, that we just saw another, sadly, history is full of these examples, but we just saw another example of this happening in Norway.
Oh, and it's so sad, and of course, you know, the power of prayer and of healing. And I know we had asked, but possibly our listeners tonight, that, you know, after the program, you know, a moment of reflection of their own lives, and to take a moment to say a prayer for all those that were affected by this horrible event. And, you know, every day when I go into prayer and meditation, I put out that mankind steps to a higher consciousness. You know, that every day we can go into the higher elevation, and that before you know it, it's just, it's there, that love, that wonderful vibration that is destined for all of us, you know, if we work at it. And it's definitely something that I will keep praying for daily. And I hope that our audience, in their manner of prayer, meditation, whatever they find that resonates with them, will take a moment to send out, you know, that love and caring to everyone that's been affected by this horrible tragedy.
Well, I agree completely, and it's as though there's darkness now, and you can almost feel it tuning in and thinking of Norway, the tremendous sadness and anger and outrage and pain and loss. And if the listeners, if we could all, even now as we speak, just see loving white light or pink light, you know, surrounding Norway, surrounding those people, and enfolding them in love so that their hearts can heal. And also the perpetrator, the attacker, because he has to be the most lost of all of them, and the last one to, maybe the last one to think that he's lost, or to certainly know that he's the one who's really lost. How else could he be to have done something like that? So his soul This is the interesting thing, Peggy. You know, as a spiritual minister, we believe in the continuity of life. So our souls and our spirit goes on. And what he is going to find out from this point of view is that this is just the beginning of a whole new journey for him. He is going to have to come to grips with balancing the scales within his soul for what has happened. And that comes through forgiveness and love. It doesn't come through more judgment and more shaming. And so if we can just put out the light for his soul to heal, so this doesn't have to carry on and carry on and carry on, that would be really helpful. And as people put this out and send this image of the white light to Norway, they themselves, as they do this, can heal parts of themselves that they are upset with or ashamed of. And rather than trying to get rid of that, just bless it and send love to it and let it meld into the oneness of who they really are, of their spirit, and meld into that in a loving way rather than an angry or ashamed way. And that I find that really helpful.
I know throughout the years, you know, doing the aura chakra tune-ups and the energy reading of people's chakras, you know, when I get to the heart, you know, I always ask for permission again because there's nothing you can hide there. And mm-hmm. when it's given to me and going in and reading their heart, their soul, it almost surprises me to how many I find that their souls, Daniel, it's almost like they're dying. You know, mm-hmm. instead of seeing a beautiful green color within their chakras, they're dark and the vibration. It just haunts me that someone would allow their soul to die. Or, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just absolutely horrid. And that, of course, when their soul dies, it's like their consciousness, they don't have one. And they start acting violently, not only to people, but to animals. Their unkindness, you know, to Mother Earth. And it's just, it's a spiral that just keeps going downward. And I definitely pray for them because I hate to think how many lives a reincarnation of lives is going to take for them to evolve, you know, mm-hmm. to come back, though we pray and ask that they shall. But all the harm and damage that they do to others along the way, but the most damage of all being to their own soul. Mm-hmm. And I know that you see that in your profession coming, you know, from a different avenue and angle, but you still see to the heart of it, if you will. And I guess it never ceases to amaze me what man's inflictions, you know, to man that they keep creating and coming up with. Just when you don't think it can get worse, you turn on the tele or the internet and you see what one man, you know, 93 lives taken, but that's just the beginning of the effect of how many other people from that he's touched.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And interestingly, in the modern era, that which might have been isolated from the rest of the world, you know, 200 years ago certainly, but more recently even than that, now is instantly part of, so it's not just the people in Norway, it's the heart of the whole world is affected, because how can you know of that and not have it affect your heart? And the other interesting thing with, you know, if I can just shift to quantum physics and holography, where we're all parts of the whole, that at some level, that energy of the individual who perpetrated that is a part of the wholeness, the oneness of the energy that we're a part of. So for us to send healing and light is vital. So you don't let that part, it's like having a part of our own body not get along with another part of our body. And you can cut that out or cut it off. If you don't like your hand, you can cut it off, but you can't do that without harming the rest of the body. You know, better
exactly.
to love that hand and incorporate that hand so that it works with you and not against you and be part of the oneness. That's what creates the happiness and the love. But if we all got upset with ourselves for anything we did wrong in life and cut a part of ourselves off, we pretty soon we'd be shrinking. But then to see that happen to someone hurts the person who's witnessing it, just like that act in Norway hurts everyone around the world. But we're not helpless. We can hold the higher light. We can hold the vision that soul too can become enlightened, and we can be a part of that by sending positive energy. And you mentioned the heart, you know, and there's wonderful research being done now by HeartMath and other scientists who are proving that the heart really is the center of our intelligence and information processing. And if that heart starts to turn sour or is bruised or blackens or darkens or starts to die in some way, that affects us in such a powerful way. And
yes.
What are we without our heart? What's our body without our heart? And what's our world without a soul and a heart, a center of love? Well, it's pretty lost. So we need to return to that and maintain it.
Right, and in quantum physics, I loved when I was able to go get this DVD on What the Bleep Do We Know? And mm-hmm. It's amazing because it's factual. Oh, okay. Well, Daniel, how about we take a moment here and we'll bring Tom in from line two and we'll continue this. Good evening, Tom. How are you?
I am fantastic, Peggy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, sir. It is a pleasure to have you on board here tonight.
Well, I heard you guys talking, and you were talking about the Oslo thing, and then the effects of, that something like that has on all the people involved. I'd like to ask the doctor if he would talk about the effects on the mass consciousness over something like that, and then the I've looked at other events that have happened in our past and looked at the social changes that ended up as a result of major media events like this.
Absolutely. Do you have a specific point of that, the mass consciousness? Are you asking Tom how it affects the mass consciousness?
Well, exactly, I just see, especially when some of the media gets a hold of it, that they have a tendency to, steer it in a particular direction to create a desired opinion from the masses to push their own agendas.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that happens that I see is that there's a grief process, and when people go into grief, and we are all grieving, if you have any compassion, sensitivity to the number of people, to anyone, but certainly when it's mass like that, then we go into our own grief process, and the first stage is I don't believe it. The second stage is anger. I don't like it. And then we can create, in our own anger, separation from each other. We can take it out on each other. We can take it out on the perpetrator. Now that, I mean, clearly a person in that situation has to be stopped and separated in a way so that no more harm can be done. But we need to get through the grief, to the sadness of it, to the acceptance that it happened, and also to the healing. I would like to see the mass media moving people more towards healing rather than just stopping in the anger, sadness stage of it. I know it sells and people are interested in it, but if they could just help us move through that process, I think it would benefit mankind.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Getting the media to go that direction, that's a challenge in itself. The negativity definitely sells on the news, doesn't it?
Oh, does it ever? It's very unfortunate, but it does. And since energy doesn't have any boundaries, you know, if this is what they're seeing when they open up a paper or on the internet, and it's that it's almost like a feeding frenzy. So it's like you get caught up into it, even if you didn't mean to. You know, we all are going to have now an opinion about this. And hopefully we can rise into that higher consciousness, you know, personally thinking this. And again, looking at forgiveness, looking at the love and healing needed for those families that were involved. And, you know, I believe in reincarnation, and I want to pray that a person's soul is always worth saving, and that they have the opportunity with coming back through another life. But hopefully they'll come in a higher consciousness, so not to repeat these horrible dramas again and again. So I have to believe that they are assisted on the other side. I'm not sure what you gentlemen might think about that, but I think our education, our training, our growth doesn't just stop in this dimension. How do you gentlemen think or feel about that?
Absolutely, Peggy. I am firmly convinced that nothing stops here. It's not one and out. But we're in the process of an evolution, an evolving, and our soul evolves, and we learn things, like we learn what tragedy is. We learn what it's like to separate ourselves from others or from goodness or from love. And one of the best ways to learn the importance of love and compassion is to feel the effects of being separate from it, or to see the effects of it, as we've seen in the Norway situation. And then we can make choices, because we have free will, we can make choices of who we really are and what we want to express and be and become. And that's the oneness, the love, the highest values and the highest morals. And then we have the ability to choose that. And when we, I loved what you said, that energy has no boundaries. So whatever someone puts out in thought and through their heart, you know, we were talking about the heart earlier, what energies they put out through the heart has an effect instantly around this world. And science now is able to measure subtle energies. They're able to prove this with the idea of the hologram, that we're all part of the one whole. So quantum physics now knows this. And once we become enlightened to this, we can use it for good. And when my wife and I take groups down to Brazil, one of the things we do is we sit in meditation with 100 other people holding this truth of love and light and healing, not only for the people there, but for the whole world, for the whole earth and all of its inhabitants. And that's an amazing opportunity, an amazing experience to have. So as people meditate here, just know that you are joined by people all over the world who are holding this divine light and this goodness for the world. And you're not alone in this practice, but you are joining people from all around the globe who practice daily in this.
Absolutely.
Yes.
There are so many now that are doing the quote-unquote wake-up, and meditation is becoming a very widely spread practice, and I'm just seeing it everywhere. Everywhere I go, more and more people that are actually beginning to do that work on themselves and finding that part of that process ultimately leads to the awareness that we are one, and the awareness that going inside spreads that oneness throughout all.
And connect, you know.
Absolutely.
I liked your term waking up, because it truly is an awakening that, oh my gosh, you know, I thought I was separate. I thought I was different from other people. But on some level that appears to be, but on another level, it's just not true. We're all part of one body, and that body being spirit, that body being an energy that creates and is part of everyone and everything. And the new healing paradigms, if you will, and techniques are based in that understanding, which is very exciting. And you had mentioned earlier, Peggy, about one of the healing. What was it that you had mentioned
the chakra cleansing.
And I'd like to mention there is a wonderful video called The Living Matrix, which is and part of explains this new insight into healing, into quantum healing, and it's the new science of healing and what it's based in. And people can get that by just going on thelivingmatrixmovie.com. I have no financial interest in it, so I'm not pushing a product of mine, but I found it to be wonderfully presented and simply and entertainingly presented. So that may benefit a lot of people if they have not already seen it. It came out in 2009.
Wonderful. Well, and I'm sitting here, and how wonderful, Tom, is having you on board with us. You know, here's three different individuals, but there's one common denominator that we all believe in the power of love and positive energy and wanting to move that forward. And instead of looking at the anger and hatred, you know, we're trying to step past that. And, you know, if we have 3 out of 3 here, hey, guys, we're really making a difference. Can you imagine? We can, we're like this chain. We're starting this chain reaction and just having people join in, interlocking, and being their strength in numbers. And, you know, and I'm so proud that, you know, here's 3 individuals that are working toward the higher good, going into the higher consciousness of our being, and that life is really good. There's always going to be tragedies, but we can be that aid and assistance to those who may not quite understand it. And maybe we can help take their hand or words and lead them out of that anger and hatred to maybe they want to pick up a gun, or they might want to have a violent act on another individual. So I have to believe we do make a difference. And, you know, and that's what's wonderful about, you know, BBS Radio, that we can express our opinions, and we hope that others are listening, and maybe we can plant that one seed. And my God, what flutation, you know, that can bring. So, guys, I tell you, it's just such an honor to have both of you here at this time and talking. And we are moving forward, and life is getting better and better every day.
Absolutely. Okay, well, before I get off here, I want to part with, I have never seen one single cloud, dark, nasty cloud come through my personal life that did not hold a silver lining.
Right. Oh, beautiful.
Okay,
you're an inspiration.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you, and we will chat again.
And yes, you. And Tom, wait a second. Please give us your time slot, would you please?
Oh, I was going to get out of here without plugging. But
no, come on. No,
yeah,
I'm twisting your arm.
The 100th Monkey Radio on Station 2, Sundays at 3:55.
And I tell you, people, you got to tune in. Him and Ramon are a fabulous combo.
Oh, well, we have fun with it.
You are a delight. Thank you so much for calling in. And maybe you might have inspired someone else to pick up that telephone and to give us a jingle.
Okay, good night, you guys.
Good night.
Night, Tom. You know, his quote's wonderful. It reminds me of Henry David Thoreau, and this is not an exact quote, but the essence is, it does not matter what you look at, but what you see. And Tom was talking about, look for that silver lining. Look for how you can grow in this, learn in this, how you can become a helper in the situation rather than a victim or helpless. Look how you can help. And with the knowledge that we've been talking about tonight, that energy has no distance barriers, that through energy healing and thought through the heart and love through the heart, we can become a part of healing for everyone and everything on the planet. And that is such an amazing concept, and it's so freeing because that means we're all essential, we're all important in what we're thinking and what we're putting, the energy we're putting into our lives and into this universe affects everyone and everything. And we're a part of that. It's wonderful.
Yes. And, you know, we have to stop and think for a moment, too, that what we're displaying in our words and our actions is also being seen by children, you know, be it your own children or your grandchildren. You know, you have to stop and think, what are you imprinting with them? Is it love or understanding or hatred? Someone does something wrong, you instantly put up your dukes and you're going to fight back. You know, so I think we have to remember we are examples for the children, and we need to change what they've been seeing, the violence, you know, the wars that are on the news every day. It has to stop. We have to somewhere just change this energy. And it's just one action. And speaking of love, taking a moment and maybe even biting your lip and going, whoops, maybe I don't need to say that, especially in front of an innocent, you know, being that child. They're smart. They see, they mimic. So if you display anger or, you know, we come a long ways from those barriers of people who live in different countries, those whose skin was different color than ours. You know, this is no different. We have to overcome this barrier of hatred.
Yeah, it's like an evolved consciousness sees the oneness, but a less evolved consciousness sees differences, and in those differences sees separation and judgment, you know, or looks at them with judgment, rather than seeing the differences are all part of a oneness. Like, well, Peggy, you love rainbows, so it's like looking at a rainbow, and rather than judging the different colors, seeing the beauty of the colors together, and without them, you have no rainbow. And so without all of our differences, we have no beauty in humanity.
No, and what is when we finally realize that it's okay to disagree, but we can do it in a manner that doesn't require guns and knives or weapons of any sort, that we can speak our opinion and still smile at one another and go, I respect what you think. But you also, you know, I want you to respect what I'm thinking, and giving, you know, that free will.
But and actually, out of that respect for each opinion, you can be created a better solution to whatever you're talking about through compromise. You know, rather than through separating one versus the other, or trying to get rid of one side, bring the sides together. And together create a better solution. And that's, I think, how we grow. That's how we grow and progress.
Absolutely. And in just kind of, you know, going back here when we were talking earlier about the DVD, What the Bleep Do We Know? You know, the quantum physics, it's amazing because our thoughts, it is an energy. So just because you're not voicing it, it is out there. And there's a particular part where this woman looks in the mirror and she's frowning at herself and saying, I hate myself. I hate this and that about me. And how old she started to look, that it started taking on an actually physical change in her.
And often people get stuck in that hate, and that's what deteriorates. It was a great example of negativity deteriorates where love and forgiveness, acceptance grows. So if she would take what she doesn't like and say, okay, I'm going to work on that or I'm going to change that, but not, you know, not hate herself for it, just see it and grow through it or use it as a catalyst to do something different in herself, well, now it's taking the negative and turning positive.
Yes. There was a wonderful movie, and this kind of ties into what we're saying. The movie was about a woman, and she was quite large, and she was always putting herself down. And this man who was very, very attractive, and he looked at her, and he goes, I don't know why you do this. He says, your problem, if this is a problem for you, your weight, you can take care of it. This is something you can correct. So that's all you have to do. Your attitude. Change it.
And send it love. You know, when I want to lose weight, I send the fat on my body love, and I thank it for protecting me, like in cold weather, or for protecting me emotionally, because maybe I wasn't aware of my feelings, so I was eating in place of being aware of my emotions and working through those. And so I send love to that part, and I say, thank you, I don't need you anymore. Now I'm aware. Now I'm working through that. And, of course, we're in summertime, so, you know, now I don't need the fat protection. And then it can, then it works with the flow of the oneness rather than separating yourself from it, hating that part of yourself. That just creates more pain, more negativity, and in the case of eating, more eating. So, and that doesn't help.
Oh, you're correct. And I just got informed that we have a caller online, Ashu, on line three. So, welcome to BBS Radio.
Hello.
Hello. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hi. Do you have a question for the doctor?
Yes, I... Doctor?
Yes.
I thought I was calling in for Vicky Ford.
Oh, no, this is Serenity. Okay. Sorry about that, Daniel. I guess
it's all right.
I guess we just were the wrong station, but that's okay.
Well, bless her heart for trying.
Yes, we've got to give her credit for there.
Mm-hmm.
I know my time is winding down here, Daniel, but before I let you go, you know, we were talking about prayer and healing. And, of course, you have a wonderful trip coming up here in a few weeks going to Brazil, which is a wonderful place for healing. And I believe this, if memory serves me correct, there's been over, 3 million people who have throughout the years gone to this particular place for healing?
It's estimated at 15 million.
Oh, and was I off? Sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a considerable
million.
Number.
Unbelievable. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we will pray for the world and for everyone while we're there, and we don't wait to get there to pray, you know, and to hold the light for everyone and the world that we're here, and all the souls, the progression for everyone, because we know we go on from here.
Yes.
But was there something specific on that, Peggy, that you were...
Well, I think, again, letting people know that there are various places and ways of addressing healing. And, you know, and Brazil, of course, holds a very special place, I think, in all, you know, your heart and your wife and my husband and I. And how wonderful that the energy from there, even though it's in Brazil, we can draw that and bring it to us, no matter
mm-hmm.
where we are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be for the radio audience to go and to Google particular websites, and that maybe they can see for themselves or read and just maybe understand more of what we're trying to convey to them about Brazil. Now, is there a special or a particular website that you would advise these people to go to?
Well, they could go just Google John of God in Brazil, and then follow that link. They can also go on our website, which is Spiritual Tours Unlimited, and just follow, you know, just read about it there, and then link over to information about Brazil.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and I encourage everyone to do that, because it's, you see, Brazil is so advanced spiritually that they have many healers, and the healers really are know that it's God who does the healing, and it's the energy of the universe, the intelligence that does the healing. So, you know, they've removed themselves, that it's not about them. It's about them tapping into and becoming a part of and open to the universal energy and that love, and that's what does the healing. And people's belief that it's possible to heal. That's a huge, you know, we could get into a whole other discussion on belief, but that's a huge part too.
Oh, it is. It truly is. Belief, faith, is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I know your wife was trying to join us this evening, but unfortunately she had to go out of town. But mm-hmm. I'm going to have the pleasure of her company and Reverend Sandy Davison at mm-hmm. Serenity this Thursday for our own wonderful spirit fair. So mm-hmm. those who are in or around Marshall, Michigan, Thursday between 6 and 9, stop in, and I think you will enjoy the experience of Serenity. And having Mrs. Price and Ms. Davison there and myself, we will do our very best to give you a little look into your past, present, and your future. And Daniel, I know my time is running out, and I want to say thank you for joining me again. I'm sure I'll be calling upon you again to join us, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Thank you, Peggy. You too, and to all the listeners. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Until next time, as you say, ciao.